to the board meeting. Welcome here. We just need to say that we have all board members present except for Roy Hatt. We're hoping he comes sometime in the middle of this. We have Business Administrator Jared Black and Superintendent Sitrud with us. We would invite you all to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, if you would.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, it's our understanding that we have a couple of presentations. I know that there's a lot of people here, but we would like to have a couple of spokesmen. I understand it's Kenzie Guyman and Mr. Winder. So we would ask you to just present it. And is that okay with you? Is that okay with everyone that we have one spokesman?
That's our usual procedure.
So we'll just give you some minutes to present, and then we'll have Mr. Winder, okay?
Well, I think that, do I need to stand?
Either way, whatever you feel most comfortable.
I want to be out in front of everybody. Well, I think I've spoke with all of you, you know, a little bit about what we're trying to do is we're just trying to start a girls' golf program at Emory High. Because we are a 2A school, we do have a boys' program, but the girls cannot play on that because we are 2A. So that's why the reason for bringing this up is to let the girls play also. And their seasons are different than the boys. The boys' season is, I think it starts from now until, like, you know, through the fall.
November, I believe.
And the girls' is from February to May. So, you know, they have different playing seasons, different roles, right? So that's kind of where I'm at. From after doing a little bit of research, I mean, looks like according to like the Title IX that you have to have the same pay for, because there's already a boys set up, you'd have to have the same pay, same, you know, I guess amount allotted from the school. So basically $1,100 is what the boys' coach is getting at this point. $500 is what the boys' program is getting. So I guess that's basically what we are asking for. I mean, when I talked to you guys ahead of time, you know, some of you, I had mentioned that, you know, hey, we got sponsors, we don't want any money, we don't, you know, we just want to do this. And then that's when that came up. And so I guess that's what, you know, what we're asking for is the $1,100, you know, the $1,600 basically for our program to go ahead with. So do you guys have any questions about that?
Kenzie, you've been asking, you know, collecting information on how much interest there is. What have you found? I mean, we're going to do a survey. The first couple of weeks of school, but I'm curious to know how much interest you found.
Currently, and you know, I mean, you've seen what I've done, it's only just hang a few flyers at the schools the last week of school. I have 10 girls.
Okay.
And I would not put the girls on my list until I've spoke to the parents and let them know there is not a program right now. That, you know, we're in the process of trying to do this. So, you know, if the girls called me and whatever, because I have a lot of girls calling, but I would not put them on my list until I've spoke to their parents and let the parents know and to go ahead from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it would take probably 10 to 16 girls consistently to have a program.
No.
Because my understanding is that they play six.
There's
I mean, they can practice, but they play six, and then they take, according to Mr. Reynolds, then at the end of that match, they take the four best scores, and then of course at the end of the season they take like 10 from each region for the state.
Is that for tournament play or just season play in general that they need six?
According to Mr. Reynolds, that's what they do. He can play six, and they take the score of four of them.
Well,
but he'll have 12 or 15 or 16 on the team. But and they practice in that, and then he takes the best scores of that week or whatever and puts them in the game.
Well, according to the High School Activities Association, only four kids have to be on a team.
Mm-hmm.
They can take up to six kids with them with
four
scores.
It's four scores
counting,
that they count, right.
But they only have to have four kids mm-hmm. on the team.
Yeah, now, I know, so they don't have to have six. Generally, they can play six, but they have four scores.
They can play six, but only four scores count.
Right.
They can take six kids, but they only have to have four. So we only have to have four kids to create a team.
Okay.
And girls, and golf was co-ed up until 2007, and then they split it.
Yes.
And that's when the girls, and I wasn't even aware of that until I talked to Coach Reynolds here not too long ago, that they, it was split, and so that's when.
Is that only in 2A, did you say? 2A camp?
1A is co-ed.
Oh, okay.
2A and up is, they're separate.
Okay.
That's why Green River plays.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they are 1A.
1A camp. Okay, I think we, appreciate that. That's something we're looking into. I think we're gonna do the surveys, and we will, you know, it's, you presented it well, and we'll.
So is there any way to go forward with this without doing the surveys?
This is not something, it's not on the agenda to approve today, so we're not, going to approve it today. It's something that we are looking into.
So how long does that take to have a survey complete and?
It would have to wait till school started.
Well, first couple of weeks of school, and take a week or two to compile that information, and then, should be plenty of time if, since it's a spring sport, to add it to the schedule, unless Mr. Davis knows something I don't.
No, it could be added to the schedule, but yeah.
But what we're looking at is a complete survey, not just of, golf and soccer, but of all sports. We're trying to do a survey of interest for all sports that could possibly be offered, and then take a look at that in comparison with the, sports we already have, and see what impact it has on, Emory High, which is a 2A school right now. And then, of course, I'll also have to look at the cost. Costs that are involved in it, and then make a decision at that time. But I don't think the board's going to take any action until after we do that survey. So,
and it's not, it's more cost than just the, coaches. It's, travel as well. That's in there as well. So that's another.
Well, and that's, another thing that when I did speak to Mr. Sindred, he said that, you know, the cost on that was $3.75 a mile, you know, that we'd have to basically come up with within our budget. And after looking into it a little bit more, no other sport pays for travel. It's all lumped in. The school district as a whole pays for that. So like football, baseball, softball, whatever, they don't have to come up with the travel money out of their own each individual budget. That is the school district as a whole.
Yeah, that's
so.
Definitely.
So is it just allocation?
Well, we track, we allocate each school so many miles for extracurricular activities, which includes not only sports, but field trips and, those kind of things. So they're allocated,
well,
those miles, so they would have to fit those within the allocation that they
and
have.
And we've already looked into Jake and Tasha, you know, where they're, they would like to be the coaches, looked into them and taking the Suburban, so it wouldn't cost as much. It wouldn't cost the $3.75 a mile.
Right.
Because they could take the school Suburban and go.
Is there fundraising opportunities we can, like, can we use fundraising in order to fund that mileage then? Or, I mean, is that a possibility, or does it actually have to come out of travel expense from the district?
I'm not sure how that, they'll have
according,
to. Yeah.
I know you only want one spokesman, but according to my research, Utah High School Athletic Association, that, any of that fundraising money can be used towards the program, whether it be transportation, whether it be uniforms, whether it be field stuff or anything.
But any kind of donation that's made to a particular sport has to be spread through all the sports, or it has to be matched by the district for the opposite sex sport.
And that's, that's actually incorrect as well, too.
It isn't incorrect. That's
no.
In Title IX.
Yeah.
Absolutely, in a corrective action agreement that this district has
okay.
with OCR. We went through a review about 15 years ago, and we had a corrective action agreement, and in that, we, for example, one example of that was that we had a business who donated money for warm-up suits for the girls' basketball team, and we were required by OCR to match that for the boys' basketball team.
So all of
okay,
the fundraising that goes on, you guys
so
have to match something for another sport? Is that how that works?
If it's a gift or a donation from a business. Now, fundraising, each of the sports do the fundraising, but the guide, the corrective action agreement that OCR made us comply with was all donated, all fundraising funds is supposed to go into one pot of money, and then it's allocated by the principal to the various sports based on need.
So when, like my nephews play baseball, and I always buy their fundraising thing. So when I buy that, even though it says Emory High Baseball, That goes into a pot for everyone then?
It goes into an athletic fund at the high school, and then it's out, can be allocated to the baseball, or it can be it could be allocated to another sport if the need is greater, so.
Not according to the coaches that I've spoke with Emory High School, with the softball coach, with the baseball coach, and that's not currently how it is. Every dollar that they fundraise, everything that they get, it may not be, but that's the way it's supposed to be. Then it's not being done right. Because every dollar that they fundraise goes into
all I'm telling you is that is the way that's okay. The legality side of it.
Okay,
now,
right.
If it's not being done that way, that's an issue we have to deal with. But we've been through we were selected for an audit, and we went through a 4-year corrective action agreement, and we have that in policy. That corrective action agreement is outlined in policy.
Okay. Well, just so you're aware, it's not being taken care of that way then, right now, currently.
Another thing I would like to bring up, though, is if there is any way that we could possibly get something approved for these girls to tentatively have a team so we could go forward with this. There's some opportunities this summer for the girls to do some fundraising, like with maybe possibly a night golf tournament or what have you. So we could at least start, because, you know, my feeling is if we wait until school starts, we do the survey a few months later, you know, we're going to go into this and the girls are going to have absolutely no money to pay for, you know, any of the things that they may need. Now, I do have sponsors, you know, and I guess, you know, from what we're talking about, that would be willing to donate the balls or donate, you know, whatever the case might be. And, you know, I don't see a problem sharing that with the boys, honestly. I mean, I want to see them, you know, do well also. I don't, you know, I would be happy to work with them together, you know, with all of our fundraising, opportunities throughout the summers from here on out, even.
Well, we can't tentatively do it until we've looked at this. We can't, I mean, you can go ahead with what you want, put it in, but it wouldn't be affiliated with the school until in the fall. Is my feeling about that.
So if we were to do a fundraiser this summer that's not affiliated with the school, is that going to cause issues as the school starts? Or can that, I mean, because I was under the impression that all of the fundraising had to go through like the high school's ledger or something like that. I don't know, if the high school's accounts or something. So I just
if it's sponsored by the school, it does an issue
with fundraising by putting Emory High's name on it,
right,
and then have it.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And you really couldn't put the school's name on it, because that would imply that it had been approved and the program was going. It would have to be an independent action that you took.
You could just call it the Emory Girls Golf Club and
start
it as a club.
True.
And
as long as it's not Emory High,
if it is approved, and then move it into the, you know, a school sport, but for now you could just have a girls golf club.
Yeah, independent.
Okay, as long as that wouldn't create an issue, that'd be great.
I don't know why it would.
If people are willing to donate it to it, that'd be there.
So if it was then turned around and donated to it, would it go to boys and girls golf? I mean, not that it's an issue, I just am curious.
We'll leave that in the hands of the principal.
Yeah. And the athletic director in the school probably, so.
Yeah,
that's out of our realm. We don't deal with that part, but
under OCR rules, it should go in the pot.
Yeah.
So
I think the OCR compliance review has been long enough ago that, you know, obviously we have not done a very good job of educating our coaches and that about fundraising, and I take responsibility for that. We need to have more discussion on it, but I can tell you what the Title IX compliance, it's actually called a corrective action agreement, says, and it's very clear on the fundraising, or on the fundraising, where that money goes, and any donations that come in have to be equally divided or have to be matched by the school district.
Which is to your benefit.
It is. And I know I was on the board when that OCR investigation happened, and I know there are some that think that it's just a
suggestion?
Guideline.
Yes, a guideline, a suggestion. It's not. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
If you get on their list, it's a big deal.
Well, but if they do it as a club,
That's separate.
Yes,
that's
separate.
And I agree with that. And you could call it, like Patsy suggested, you could call it the Emory Golf Club, as long as you don't say the Emory High Golf Club. That's totally independent.
So do we have a possible tentative date or tentative month? Maybe this would, the survey would be complete and come back so I could possibly be put on the schedule at that point for the next board meeting? Or how does this?
What would our follow-up need to be?
Well, the soonest board meeting would probably be October board meeting.
October, probably, board meeting.
Okay, so do I need to?
By the time we do the survey and then we compile it and we look at the participation rates and we look at the interest. And then, of course, it has to be a budget issue too. So at that point, I would say the October meeting is when the board can take action.
So I was told, and you guys correct me if this is wrong, I was told that if there is the ability and interest for these girls to do this, where there's already a boys program in place, if there's the ability and interest, which obviously 10 girls, that's enough interest, where you only have to have four, the ability is there. I mean, my daughter can golf 104. That would put her in the top, according to this last year's state records, that would put her in the top 20. She's going into ninth grade. I mean, so obviously there's a little bit. I know there's other girls on that are interested that obviously have the ability. I was told that there would possibly we'd have to reallocate funds for this to go ahead with without having to do the survey. Is that not correct?
What? Who told you?
I'm not sure what you're.
Yeah, I'm not sure
told
you're.
Me that.
Who told you that?
Richard Gomez.
He's this equity officer at State Office of Education.
That we wouldn't have to go through the surveys and all that, where, you know, there's basically already been a precedent set by two other schools.
But
there would have been three other schools.
And I understand that, but you're just assuming that this is the sport that we need to. There's budget things to look at. It's not just yet. I'm sure that they would. The school has to decide if they have the money to run sports. It doesn't matter, you know, there's people that are good in soccer, there's people in other sports.
Oh, absolutely.
So
and I don't want to see anything, you know,
right,
be taken away from anybody else. I mean,
and that is a consideration
is
what you're taking away from something else. So that's why we're looking at it. Are you taking people away from another sport that to weaken that sport to do another one? So there are other issues besides
to me,
we have
the
great
more opportunities
players.
Available for
oh.
these kids, the better. I mean, whether the kids do 2, 3, you know, 4 sports, I mean, that keeps them out of how much more trouble, you know, keeps them, you know,
yeah.
I mean, especially with, you know, the issues that there are in school, like with the drugs and whatever. I mean, honestly, I mean,
drugs aren't as bad, you know, back in
school when I went back to school as they are right now. But, you know, I rodeoed.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of things that kept me out of trouble, kept me away from the drugs,
and
kept
we
me, you
totally
know, I mean,
agree with that.
So anything
yeah.
that we do for these kids, you know, to promote this, it shouldn't be an issue of money. It's like, how can we reallocate and do as many as we can for all of these kids?
And that's why we're doing the survey. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So there's no way of going around this without doing the survey.
I think that would be better. It's just, you know, you can't do things with just pressure from people. You have to look, because it is good to have a lot of sports, but if you only have a certain amount of students, which we are declining in enrollment,
mm-hmm.
to try and get all the sports filled with the best kids and not weaken the whole programs of all the programs. Because you may have the football players coming and saying, we need a strong team, and you're pulling some away. You're pulling some. So those are the things we need to look at. There's a lot of good sports, and there's probably endless sports that we could add at our school. But, you know, we have to look at the whole and see what is going to
from what
be
I
the
have
best.
Seen, you know, we have 285 boys in our school. We have 268 girls. So the 52% are boys, the 48% are girls. Of those kids as a whole, 60% of the boys play sports, 40% of the girls are playing sports. So my understanding, even like with the Title IX, we need to be offering something more for the girls to get participation levels up so they're equal. So to me, this is a cheap and easy way. I mean, it's cost.
Mm-hmm.
The cost, and
I think you're probably right. This is something we're going to look at. So, yeah.
So when do you guys
it is a cheap and easy way. We just need to look at it.
Allocating budgets for next year's school year. Like, how does that all play into when the survey would happen as well?
We have our budgets already prepared for next school year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
So. They're supposed to approve those today, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So what about?
But it doesn't mean that there aren't room. You can't adjust that at any time, and
no, we go in and adjust
if there leaders need to do that when all other things fall into place. But you also have to, when you're talking about budget, you also have to understand that it's all the same money that goes for sports that could be used in the classrooms. I mean, we right now could hire five teachers. We really need to hire five teachers, but we can't because of the budget. And so in one,
we spoke about that last time. That's kind of what,
in one sense, do you sacrifice?
She told me that, you know, the budget's tight. I have to lay off two teachers, yet in the paper there's an advertisement for three. You know, I mean,
no.
To me, that's like,
we have an advertisement for one. It's a replacement. It's not an additional teacher.
That's what I seen, is one full-time, two part-time in the paper.
I don't know.
And that was last week's paper.
For Emory School District?
Emory School District.
I'd be curious to know what they are, because Carbon's looking for teachers.
I was only looking at Emory School District.
You're
I don't
not
care
looking
what Carbon
for
has
two half-time teachers. Where's Jed, Gwen, do you know?
It's not secondary here with that.
The positions that we had within the district were filled within the district, except for the half-day kindergarten in Cleveland, but all the rest of them were transferred.
We are a half,
And then we do have...
You know, I think we can get into the nitty-gritty of this.
Right,
and I think we can split hairs. We are not willing to do anything today until we do the survey. I think that's what it boils down to. You still have time to have golf next year. There's nothing being taken away from you right now, but that's what we're prepared to do today. So, can we go to Mr. Winder, please?
I'll just make it quick. You guys, you should have all got a little thing in your mailbox and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And was that kind of, did you have a chance to go through it and stuff? Was that all kind of self-explanatory that you got to offer and stuff?
Yeah, was well understood.
I don't really want to hit on anything specific unless you guys have questions on what's going on. The more specific thing that I wanted to hit on was the signatures or the survey, which I understand that we need to have a survey. Obviously, as you can see, you know, the numbers here, there is, you know, quite a bit of support.
Sure.
Through the rec center as well, too. Just a number to throw out, baseball signups were, they had 300 kids play baseball this last year as far as recreation baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 240 kids play soccer. So obviously the numbers are there. The numbers are going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Soccer is a spring sport. So I've got 42 signatures right now of kids that are interested in playing high school soccer. That's kids that are from 9th grade to 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And that's without even doing a survey. If I'm not mistaken, I think the football team had about 40 kids try out last year. So there is an interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, financially, all the research that I've done as well too, coaches can donate their pay. It doesn't need to be budgeted in, so they can donate their pay. And all the information that I've gathered as far as from Emory School District, from Richfield, from every school that's within our region as well too, they're budgeting. Their budget varies depending on coach and where they are, and obviously money. So, for example, Manti High School, their coach gets paid $1,000. Roland Hall's High School, he gets paid $3,000. But he donates that $3,000 back to the program. And through Utah High School Athletic Association, they have the opportunity to do that if they need to. Or they can do that if they want to. So the budgeting thing, you know, as far as businesses that are interested in contributing, I was under the impression, you know, and if this OCR thing is what you're calling it, then that's fine. But I think the inquiry not only needs to be done at Emory School District, but the other school districts, because I asked them specifically about fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
Manti High School just put on a big tournament to fundraise at a young age, bringing young age kids in.
Mm-hmm.
And that money doesn't need to be shared with anybody else other than Manti High School's boys soccer team. So all the money that was brought in, that's their fundraising.
They haven't been through a corrective action review,
well,
I can tell you that.
Well,
not everybody's so fortunate.
And my thing is to you as well, too. So now we've been through one, and our high school isn't doing that, because I talked to three of our coaches and asked them specifically where their money goes. For example, the girls' softball program, they take care of concessions at the football game. All the money they raise from the concessions at the football game go exactly to theirs. The gate tickets from the football game go to football. It doesn't get put in the kitty. It goes to football.
Mm-hmm.
So if everything should be put in the kitty, then everything should be put in the kitty. Whether it's it's football, whether it's basketball, because basketball and wrestling, they all get money at the gate as well too, mm-hmm. and that goes into their program.
Yeah, and that's
and I'm not trying to stir
yeah.
that up.
No,
but,
this is something that we obviously has come up from this that we need to look in. But this, let's go to the
corrective action agreement is in policy, and I'd be more than happy to give
okay.
it to you.
No, I
don't know
the
number right now, but
yeah.
it's a one page list, and it
yeah.
lists all of the corrective action that we have to take as a school district, and it lists all of those things, including the matching of donations and the.
You bet. I believe you on that. I'm not.
And then you also have the hiring procedures that you have as a district.
Absolutely.
If you.
Absolutely.
You can't just go out and say, well, this person's willing to donate their time, so we're going to make them the coach.
Absolutely.
We have a policy. There's a hiring policy
yep.
that you have to go through, or we have
and,
problems.
And what I would encourage you to do that.
I don't think even the pay of most coaches put in
it's
far
like
more time than they
amount.
Ever get out. And so that really isn't. I think the big issue is the
travel. I'm a huge sports fan, folks, believe me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
yeah.
golf. I'm not so much. I haven't played soccer, but I watch it. I'm a huge sports fan. We've just got to go through a process.
And I understand. And that survey process, you know,
and
so
title,
and
Title IX is real.
It's a huge issue. I agree. So the survey issue, you know, and I don't have a problem with that. You know, the survey issue, I think, is something that's necessary because I'm excited to see with just the 40 kids that I've got that are interested when we do that survey process. I'm curious to see because right now we've only got four sports that we don't offer, you know, and if, you know, in that little piece of paper that I handed to you,
mm-hmm.
it shows you what sports that every high school doesn't offer. Girls soccer, girls golf, boys soccer, you know, so we go in there, you know, it might be a eye-opening experience, I think, for the school board, the school district, the principal,
yeah.
you know, everybody, you know, there's a lot of kids there.
The one huge concern, Troy, that I have is that if we add, for example, 10 girls to a golf team and 40 boys to a soccer team, the participation rates are not going to be 20%, it's going to be 40%
right.
spread between
right.
the boys and the girls.
Right. But if we
and
offer girls soccer teams
huge.
As well, too, then the numbers will come up there as well, too, which I think you'll be surprised, because I've got 12 girls that are interested in playing high school soccer, which I've expressed to them that with this survey process, it wouldn't happen this year, because girls soccer is actually in the fall. So, you know, but I mean, all that being said, I just obviously the information that I gathered, and I just wanted to, you know, to show you that I've informed, and you know, and I know kind of what's going on and stuff as well too. And you know, this survey process, obviously, I would, you know, I think it's important we have this survey process. Just one other, just little tidbit of information: the 42 kids that I've got that are on this list, there was only four of them that played other sports. Three of them done track, and one of them done baseball. So we wouldn't really be hurting any other sports. You know, the feasibility study that we talk about, it doesn't need to take, you know, 5 years to do a feasibility study, in my opinion. You know, we do a survey at the beginning of the year, and the kids say, we've got 40 kids who are interested to play soccer, and the same 40 kids are still doing track, the same 40 kids are still doing baseball. It's obvious to me that we need to, you know, and so, you know, that's my big proposal as well, too, I guess, you know. So, and I'm not asking for any money. We'll run self-sufficient. We don't need any money from the school district. It's just your support and your transportation.
Well, and thanks for your approach. You've been most helpful.
So. And I want to, you know, obviously with the support that's here, you know, these guys, and it was big to me to make sure that, you know, as far as feasibility, you guys understand that from, you know, the kindergartners to the 12th graders that are standing here, it's important to them as well, too.
Right.
So, you know,
thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And you've both spent a lot of time and done a lot
yes,
of research.
Yes, you have. Appreciate that. Yeah. Brought things to our attention. Okay. Any other? We will go on. The next item on the agenda is public hearing for the adjustment of budget for fiscal year.
You can stay as long as you want, or you don't have to sit here and listen to it all. It's up to you.
Sure you do. You have to stay for the budget session.
It's really stimulating.
I just have one quick thing I'd just like to give to all of you guys before I leave, since I didn't get a chance to do that. This is just a little more that I found.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I don't know if Roy's not here.
We may show up, we're hoping.
Okay.
I don't know if you can answer him either, but October 4th could possibly be a step of the survey going on just to try to get the ball really closer to the beginning of the
first Wednesday.
It's always
kind of
very
beginning.
Right.
Okay.
So
it should
be
good.
Yes. so they'll have to move right along with that survey to have that information ready for us, but hopefully it should be done by the
I don't think so. I think you've got the things you need. Sounds like you've kind of done some footwork on it. So you know, we're looking at we're really open mindedly going into this. I hope you know.
We don't
I don't know why they're not reporting. No, we do.
Especially anything this girl thing. We're really, that's, you know, it's something
Neil Peacock has been doing speech and debate and drama every year.
So, I don't know why that wasn't.
Do we need to make sure,
you know,
like, this is on the agenda for October?
No, they just haven't reported the numbers to the high school kids. Because we do all
the numbers.
I noticed the same thing.
Are we on the agenda for all?
Well, the other question I have.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
I appreciate that very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Why do we have
advisors
to the athletic director? And why, you know, I think it's
because
we're
that's the athletic director. It comes down here. That's the athletic director.
And it says advisor. And
well,
three
no, it's called. It, this is the athletic director. It's just under advisor.
Okay.
It's not a separate person. No, they do. This is Todd Jeffs at Emory High.
Yeah, and I know.
And they do
Todd's
all of the they do
director.
All of the scheduling. They do all of the reporting to the High School Activity Association. They do all of the work with all of the coaches. They make sure all the training's done. And so that's
why.
So
why does it show advisor instead of instructor
it's,
or
it's
director?
It's just terminology.
And then my
it's not a separate person. That is that though it goes right to there. That's who that is.
Okay, so that advisor is Todd Jeffs, basically. Yeah. That's what he gets.
The same as I don't know why it's blacked out across. But
well, it's just showing
boys basketball, this is the head and the two assistants. Athletic director, that's who that is. That's the athletic director.
This
is the band teacher. This is the summer weights. This is the
family. So what is summer weights? What is that for? Is that
you know, Kenzie, I apologize, but is this something that you could kind of meet
yeah,
with?
Well,
we're
this,
kind of in
this
the
is
middle
a summer, it's just a summer weights program that, that Coach Jones does, and it's open
okay.
to football, but it's open to anybody that wants to come. He just runs a summer program for a few weeks.
Okay. Yeah, and like I said,
so
I just didn't know
do with those two
what that was exactly.
Okay.
Anyway,
thank you for
you
the information.
Thanks for this information you gave us. Appreciate that. Okay, we need a motion to adjourn to the regular meeting to a public hearing for purpose of receiving public comment on opening and adjusting the final legal budget for fiscal year 2013.
I will make a motion that we go into the other meeting.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We are, okay. Do I do the, where are we?
My presentation
do it.
Now.
Okay.
Unless anyone else has comments first.
I just had one symbol, one sign for Larry.
Good luck, Larry.
No, Larry and I had the same discussion.
We thought you would bring
about the funding, and he didn't know what was going on with the corrective action agreement, so it's not his fault.
Okay, let's go into the budget.
So those who are interested can turn around. And
I'm going to move a little closer.
Just a couple of comments on the budget document for this year. In the past, we've had a different document that would put year to year to the side of each other. And the State Office of Education has had the district going through a different reporting format this year.
You shut the door.
Now we can hear you.
So the budget document we have this year is different than in prior years because of a new reporting format that we have. So there's actually two separate documents. If any of you don't have them, you want them, they're on the front table there. But there's one that's a pre-final budget for fiscal year 13 and one that's a tentative budget for fiscal year 14. In the past, we've had all of those together, those numbers, and I believe in the future we will as well, but for this particular budget presentation, we have them as separate documents. So I apologize if there's any confusion in that, but let me know if you have any questions. So we'll just go through, as soon as Jed gets back, we'll go through a short presentation here about the budget. Each each year in June, we get from the State Tax Commission and the county an assessed valuation estimate for our county. And for this year, it's just under $2 billion, as you can see there. That includes growth of $66 million. And that's a good growth amount in the county. Last year, just for reference, we had, I believe, $48 million. So there was a higher growth in the assessed valuation than in the prior year. This budget contains all of our estimates as of today. We have an estimated fall enrollment of 23-27, and FTEs in our school district are about 270, and numbers of employees 330. We operate in our budget 5 funds and approximately 70 programs. An example of a program would be Title I or Gifted and Talented. It's what a program means is it's a set of money that has to be accounted for and balanced within itself. And then the programs add up to balance the funds. So any questions on that? Okay. All right, so we have for a fiscal year 2014 tentative budget, the $25,369,954. All of this except $500,000 is managed at the district level. And the $500,000 comes from Fund 21, which is what we call our Student Activity Fund. That's managed at the school level, and the schools will send us their information at the end of the year, and then we compile that information and include it in the district financial documents for that year. Also included in that 2014 tentative budget, and my eyesight isn't so good, but 267, is that what it says?
Great question.
Is what we call deferred revenue. And what that is just for example, let's take the Title I budget again. We get a certain amount of money this year for Title I, and we probably have money carried over from prior years. So we spend that prior year money first, then we spend this year's money, and then if all of this year's money isn't spent, then it's considered deferred revenue for the next year. And so we have that amount of deferred revenue budgeted as of now in the 2014 budget, and a year from now we'll have a lot more deferred revenue for the 2014 budget, because a lot of those programs we don't know yet how much money we'll be carrying over into the next year, so it's not yet budgeted. If you look down at the 2013 pre-final, you'll see a much higher amount for deferred revenue. That's because we have all of those amounts in the budget, and we know what they are from the prior year. So, any questions with that? Okay. Revenue sources budgeted. This just shows on a local, state, and federal level how much we have budgeted. You'll see from fiscal year 13 to 14, we have a higher amount of local revenue and a lower amount of state revenue. In general, this has been the trend over the last few years.
Stayed for the budget hearing.
We're so fortunate to have a property tax base in our county that we do. But you'll see
continually trying to equalize.
Yeah. But if you were to look over our financial statements that show revenues over the last 10-year period, you'd see that local revenues continue to go up and state revenues continue to go down. And federal kind of vary back and forth. Like 2 or 3 years ago when we had ARRA funding, federal was a lot higher than you'd see right now, but generally we're usually around $2 million in federal revenue. Okay, and now we'll talk about our certified tax rates for just a minute. In fiscal year 13, I like to divide these up into two categories, because the first one is the state basic levy. That's set at a state level. The school district has no control over that levy. And so the rate is whatever they tell us it is. And we actually won't get that rate for probably 2 or 3 more days. But so we put a tentative amount in for that rate for fiscal year 14. That's the same amount, the same rate as the prior year. Mm-hmm. But that will change. Likely to be lower, because as assessed valuations go up, that rate goes down. And then we also have locally controlled property tax rates. These are the rates that the school district actually calculates and sets each year. In fiscal year 13, you'll notice it was 00-4150. In And in fiscal year 14, it's 004321. So it is higher, and I'll talk about that on the next slide. Go there, Jed. So if you take the first three levies right there, you'll notice that they're all lower in fiscal year 14 than in 13. That's usually what happens because as valuations go up, the rates go down because you can capture the same amount of revenue with a lower rate. The reason we have a higher proposed tax rate is that we are planning to issue a judgment levy this year, and that's to cover a judgment that was ruled on just this year for Pacificor, mm-hmm. clear back to 2006 and 2007 mm-hmm. Tax values. So essentially what that is Pacificor paid to the school district property taxes in 2006 and 7, and then this year the judge finally ruled that they had paid more than they should have had to, so we refund Pacificor the amount that they overpaid, and we issue a tax levy to generate that revenue.
How much was that?
$400,000. So, and that's what that 000203 rate would equal to. I think it's $400,298.
And when you do a judgment levy, who ends up paying the most of that?
The
tax.
Pacificor.
Yeah. Goes right back to Pacificor because they're the major tax entity in the county. Although it does affect the homeowner,
yes.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so because of this, our property tax rate proposed is higher than our certified tax rate, so we will go through a truth in taxation process in August. And we'll have a public hearing. It'll be advertised in the paper for 2 weeks that we're doing this judgment levy, and it'll have all of that language that is required by law in those ads. And then we'll have another public hearing on August 14th. When official tax rates are set. So what the board is actually doing in this meeting is approving revenues based on proposed tax rates. The actual tax rates themselves would not be officially approved until August. Yeah. Any questions on those? Okay. Here I just took a comparison of our major state revenue sources. I actually think the most interesting is to go back 5 or 6 years, so that's why I've put in the fiscal year 08. That was kind of our high year before everything crashed. So I think it's just interesting to look at some of those comparisons. Mm. The one that has gone up is necessarily existing small schools, and we're really appreciative of that. And so we're receiving more money in that program than we have in previous years. But generally speaking, the other programs have gone down.
Liquor tax is up.
Yeah.
It's always some
that affect you?
And I guess I should probably state on that, the 13 and 14 numbers for the liquor tax amount are still estimates.
Oh, are they?
Because for 13, we don't get our final payment until August.
Okay.
And 14,
it's just an
we're just guessing, mm-hmm. actually.
Okay.
So, but yeah, they usually do go up. So.
What is flexible allocation and why is that so much lower than it was in 08?
Good Thank question.
Mm-hmm.
Flexible allocation used to be called Social Security and Retirement, and it was a line item on the budget that was intended to pay for Social Security and Retirement. When everything happened in 2008, that was the first line that was essentially cut from school budgets. And just a little bit was kept, and that's what we have. But that's been a real cut that we
still have to pay Social Security and Retirement, but we don't have a fund for it now.
The state doesn't, yeah.
And
that's come out of our local budget.
Somebody decided to rename it flexible allocation, I think to get away from mm-hmm. the idea that at some point we ought to get it put back
in
as Social
yeah.
Security and Retirement. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. All right. These are our major federal revenue sources, IDEA, No Child Left Behind, Secure Rural Schools, and
mm-hmm.
Child Nutrition. So that's just another comparison of those funding sources over the last few years.
What part of sequestration is that included in that calculation for child nutrition?
The sequestration amounts that we know about, we we've included. The other ones we've just kept as they are at this point. Even though they say it's a 5.1% cut, the ones we've seen aren't uniform in that regard. So we're just taking the approach of when we get those numbers, we'll plug them into the budget. But until we do, we're just keeping the same amount as this year. Okay, this is budgeted expenditures by category. This slide is 2013. The next one will be 2014. So in the current fiscal year that we're in, this would be a representation of where our budget sits right now. You'll see the salaries and benefits are by far the biggest portion of our budget. That those percentages seem to trend upward each year, which is just an indication of the budget getting tighter and tighter as it's tied more to salaries and benefits. The rest of those categories are just a high-level overview. Each, you know, for example, supplies probably has 500 budget lines that all tie up into that category right there, but all under the supply category. So as we look at 2014, you'll see that the salary percentage went up slightly. It was 49 point something in prior.
Yeah, the salary and benefits together.
So it was 75%.
Yeah, that's about 76.
So it's probably gone up 2 or 3% in the percentage of budget that those are taking. Essentially, if you take our 2014 budget, the difference between our 2013 budget, almost all of that is in the salaries and benefits. So very little has changed.
So is that why all the other percentages went down also, is because more of it was going into those first two?
Yeah. Any questions on either of those two slides? Just as a reference point as well, the 2014 budget does not yet contain all of that deferred revenue that I talked about before, and most of that would go into the supply and property categories, so that's why they would be less in 2014 than they are in 2013. So once we know those numbers and we plug them into the 2014 budget, you would see supplies go up. Okay, and then by fund, this just is a quick summary of how much is budgeted in each fund. By far, the general fund is where most of our money is. The student activities is what I referred to earlier. It's the fund where schools have money, and then we pull it into our books at the end of the year. Non-K through 12 now contains just preschool and adult education. In prior years, it also had some custodial pay, as well as our extracurricular pay, when we had a recreation levy. But since that levy has been rolled into the main levy for the school district, we no longer have those in non-K through 12. They're part of the general fund now, the extracurricular and the custodians. Capital outlay is a fund that we use to make improvements on buildings and to pay for building maintenance. And then food service is specifically its own fund for the child nutrition program. Nothing in food service. It all ties directly to child nutrition. It's not anything else besides that. Okay, this is just to show, again, trends in revenues. I referred to this earlier, but if you look at the 2004 property tax amount, that would be considered a local revenue, and see how that's gone to 2012. And all of that, I can't think, other than a judgment levy where we've done a truth in taxation to raise. There might have been one just before I got here in 2006. But we haven't had consistent or regular increases in our tax rate. That's mostly just through tax growth in the county. But you'll see that the local revenues are $3 million higher in 2012 than 2004. And the state aid from its high point in 2008 has come down significantly. So you can see in the federal aid what I talked about earlier, like in 2010, it was at its high point, and that's when we were getting a lot of ARRA funding. And then just some things that I wanted to point out for this year's, the next year's budget. We've revised property tax levies. except for the state basic, which we'll get in a few days. The retirement rate increased 1.7%. And what that means is that instead of paying 18.76% of everybody's salary who's retirement eligible to the retirement system, we'll pay 20.26%. So it's a really significant budgetary increase, even though it's just a 1.7% increase. It's a lot of money. And then the health insurance increase was 9.51%. The budget as proposed does include steps and lanes for employees. There are no other raises proposed in the budget. It includes a judgment levy of $400,000. And then, as I mentioned earlier, the custodial and extracurricular expenses moved from Fund 23 to Fund 10. And we actually transferred that money in this fiscal year. So we started out fiscal year 13 with that money in the recreation fund. Okay. We moved it and rebudgeted everything during this fiscal year. So what you'll see on the pre-final budget reflects that. And then the fiscal year 14 budget continues those changes. So, any questions? Okay, that's what I had to present on that.
That's very helpful. Thank you, Jared.
Yes,
it is. Are there any public comments since this is a hearing? Anything from? Okay. So
I move we go out of the public hearing and go into regular board meeting.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Then we need a motion to adopt the final legal budget for 2013 and authorize Jared to adjust the final fiscal year 2013 budgets to reflect revised amounts as he sees necessary.
I'll make that motion. Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We need a motion to adjourn the regular meeting to public hearing for the purpose of receiving public comment on tentative budget for fiscal year 2014.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Are there any public comments on tentative budget? Do you have anything on that, Jared?
Probably the only thing I'd add specifically for next year's budget is that it's really, really tight. We've had to spend more time balancing this budget than we have in the last 5 years, and
really?
That's saying something. I think we're just kind of to the point as a district where we don't have any more wiggle room. We were able to balance the budget with a very small reserve. Smaller than we like to have, but it is balanced, so that would be my only, I guess, additional comment, unless there are questions.
Okay.
When he says very small amount, it is very small amount.
It's kind of scary, isn't it?
No, it's really scary.
Yeah.
Well, when the legislature says a 2% increase,
and only
everything's hunky-dory, and then when the reality hits, this is probably the toughest year we've had in probably 8 or 10 years.
Yeah.
Even through the hard economic, there was some aid, federal aid and other things that came our way, and of course we had to adjust to that as we went through. As that money withdrew itself, we've had to make those adjustments. But this is a really, really tight budget year.
I would say that I know it's our frustration, and the classified employees express the same thing. I'm guessing Kim would feel the same thing too, but it's frustrating that any new money we do get, essentially we don't really have a choice in how we use it. Because, for example, the 2% WPU didn't even cover the retirement rate increase that we received as a district.
Mm.
So it gets frustrating when there's not a whole lot like you feel you can do.
I don't think people understand that. You know, the economy's getting better, but there's schools have been hard hit. I hope the trend is kind of changing, but for right now it's not there.
What determines the retirement rate?
The retirement, well, is that set by the legislature or is it
no,
just
No, it's the state retirement system that sets it, I believe. They look at the usage and projections and they set that rate. And I think it's typically been hovering near 1.5 to 2% now for about four years, and they estimated it would continue at least for 5 to 6 years, and it looks to me like it's just going to be ongoing.
The last they told us is to plan on probably another year or two of roughly a 2% increase in the retirement rate. And that's all, what they're trying to do is get the retirement system funded again.
Solvent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it took about a 30% reduction when the market crashed in 2008.
Yeah.
So they're trying to build it back up.
There is a committee meeting. Lieutenant Governor's office is kind of heading it, and they have public education and legislators and a whole bunch of people trying their best to relook at the way schools are financed, but also trying to get education into the same kind of a system the state employees, where those things like retirement and health insurance and things are at least a piece of health insurance, because districts are all different.
Mm-hmm.
State employees are all the same.
Mm-hmm.
But at least a piece in there that is automatically funded every year regardless.
Mm-hmm. That would
and
be so
not
helpful.
As part of the WPU necessarily. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad, but
I think
it's an
helpful.
Attempt to try to cover some of those costs so that it isn't so misleading by the, you know, when the major news media outlets hear a 2% increase, they translate that into a 2% increase in compensation, and
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't happen that way.
Right.
There
and
are too many other costs.
It skews the opinion of the public and your employees as to what finances you have available.
For all state employees, those things are automatically covered.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then they gave them a 1% pay increase right on the salary.
On the top.
But for public schools, it's the 2%, and you've got to cover the retirement, the insurance increases, any step and lanes that you're obligated to, and on and on and on, and it eats it up plus more.
Mm-hmm.
Then you dig into your current funds that you have, any kind of reserve that you're trying to keep for emergencies, you dig into that, and then you end up with a budget like this year that is so tight that you can hardly wiggle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. If there's no further comments, we need a motion to declare the hearing closed and the general session reconvene.
So moved.
Seconded.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And then we need a motion to adopt the proposed tentative budget for fiscal year 2014 has been presented, including preliminary tax rates. We need to note that the state basic levy tax rate is set by the Utah State Office of Education and the Utah Tax Commission and may change when finalized. So, yeah, that's part of this adoption. The total proposed tax rate does exceed the certified tax rate due to the judgment levy of 0.00203. A truth in taxation public hearing will be held at the August 14th board meeting to board approving final tax rates. So that's the motion for the proposed adoption.
I'll move that we approve the adoption as we discussed it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. We need to do, the consent agenda, the warrants, the minutes for May 2013 meeting, and the financial reports from May 2013. Are there any discussion on that?
I move that we accept them as they were presented
to
us.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Personnel actions, names for approval.
There are none.
Okay. Surplus vehicles. And a list of those.
Okay. Roger gave us a list of the vehicles he wanted to recommend as surplus. I'm trying to find mine here. I think I put it on a blue sheet.
Yeah, there are three of them, and it was on a... There it is. You need this? Oh, you got it.
We got them. He's recommending one car, the Chevrolet Lumina from 1998, mileage of 150, just under 154,000. It would take approximately 500 to fix. It's not running. We just felt like cost benefit of that wasn't worth doing anything other than just surplusing it out and we can usually sell those kinds of vehicles for $200 or $300 at an auction. So the Dodge pickup is similar. The clutch is gone. It's just to the point where we felt cost benefit wise that it wouldn't make sense to put a whole lot of money into it. And then the bus that he is recommending is not actually our oldest bus. It's close, but it's not the oldest. But Roger said it does run. Would need a complete engine overhaul, roughly $10,000 to $12,000 of cost. And this is the one that we felt was cost benefit wise the one that we should recommend surplusing. We are just buying one bus this year, just as a reminder. For the budget we just proposed, we have put in a budget for two buses for next year, but just to make you aware of that, I guess. Are there any questions on those?
Nope. We need a motion to surplus those vehicles.
Make the motion. Go ahead, sorry.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have policy actions, revisions of several policies.
Okay, before our regular meeting tonight, we reviewed in a work session with the board. I don't know the number of policies, but a number of policies.
Yeah.
We had the policy on school community councils to meet the law, requirements of the law, emergency response management to meet the requirements of law, and then support staff positions and classifications and other support staff based on House Bill 155. And that also included fringe benefits, all of the benefits policies, everything that, with regard to that law. So all of those policies have been reviewed, and I'm recommending that the board approve those revisions. Or there are some policies that were rescinded because they were combined into one policy. So I recommend that the board approve those policy revisions.
Okay.
I don't think we have an hour to go through all of them individually and go through in detail, but you have received that information.
We've gone through them.
And answered the questions. Most of them are revisions to match the House Bill 155, support staff.
So do you need them listed in a motion?
They will be listed in the minutes.
Okay. So I move that we approve the policy revisions with the change to GBGD that we discussed in our work meeting.
I'll second that.
And the change to GCBDR on the amounts that we discussed in our work meeting.
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor? Are there any questions from you? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have the superintendent's report.
Well, after all of that, just a couple of quick things. I sent you a copy of a letter from the High School Activity Association congratulating Emory High's boys baseball team on their 2A championship.
That was cool.
We congratulate them on that. And also, it's been in the paper already, but Reed Felberg was recognized with one of the Arch Cole Teacher Recognition Awards this year and was honored at a program in Gunnison and also a little banquet in Manti that I was able to go over to. So we congratulate him. And also, I attached here an application for the USBA Leadership Academy. If any of you are interested in that, just let me know, either in the July meeting or sometime before the first part of August, and we can get that taken care of. And I think that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Let's go to the business administrator's report.
We have received our first draft of the master plan for our facilities study just this week. And so I've scheduled a meeting on July 10th. Is that right, Marie?
Seems like it. Yes, I think
we had
so.
To reschedule it about four times, but anyway,
so.
When our facilities committee will get together and start having some more discussions about that and providing input. So VCBO has provided a draft. It's now our job to review that and the data behind it and, you know, provide comments if we want to adjust the master plan or anything like that. We'll work on that over the next probably 3 or 4 months. So I just wanted to let the board know that that's where we're at.
Still moving forward on that.
And Marie and Roy are board representatives on that committee.
Okay.
So, and Marie, I did authorize you to open that document now. So.
You know, I went in and tried before I saw that you had emailed one directly to me, so I have it. Thank you.
Marie's email is not a school district email, so it would let her open the,
oh, yeah,
the document. that's all.
Can I make one more comment? I'm not trying to rehash things, but I just want to remind the board, and while others are here, that Title IX, the three-pronged approach that I sent you,
uh-huh,
I just want to reiterate those so that
that'd
everyone understands that Title IX is not a guideline. Title IX does allow sports teams to be separated by sex, and schools decide how many participation opportunities they'll give female students. But you have to meet the requirement of Title IX in one of three ways. The percentages of male and female athletes are substantially proportionate to the percentage of male and female students enrolled. So they expect you to meet that kind of a standard, that nearly as close as you can get it, the percentages of females compared to how many are in the school, and males who are in sports compared to how many are in the school, need to be as close as possible to the same. They don't have to be the same. They like to get you within about 5%. But if you can't do that, then you have to either show that you have had a history of continuing practice of expanding athletic opportunities for the underrepresented sex. Now, we did add girls tennis. We have added swimming, but that is a co-ed sport, but it has given participation opportunities. The third prong is that its athletics program fully and effectively accommodates the interests and abilities of the underrepresented sex. So you cannot just say we're going to add a sport and we'll add a sport for the girls at the same time, the same sport, and if they not enough come, it doesn't matter. You're meeting Title IX. That's not a fact. You can do this. If you have 10 boy sports and 8 girl sports, and it's evolved that way because of interest, you can offer 2 more girl sports, and if not enough girls come, you can comply with Title IX because you've offered them. But you can't say we're gonna offer boys lacrosse and girls lacrosse, and if boys come, you can add it. If girls come, you can't. I mean, you don't have to, but you've met the requirement of Title IX. It doesn't work that way. You're focused on the underrepresented sex, and the goal is to have as close of participation rates as you can between the two. And it is a federal law.
But it's one of the three prongs, right? You don't have to do all
three.
One of the three prongs. Okay.
You don't have to have the same number of sports. You don't have to have within 5% participation rates if you can show you have a history of trying to
increase,
to meet the needs of the interests of the underrepresented sex. But you have to at least meet one of those prongs. And when we had the corrective action agreement, OCR basically looked at our percentage of participation rates and said that they're really, you got to do something there. They're not where they ought to be. I think there was probably a 20% gap. And I know Kenzie said there was about a 20% gap, but there really isn't. I think it's closer to a 10 or 11% gap. But you can't take it lightly. I just want to reiterate that. So
appreciate that. Do we have any public comments? Nothing? Okay. Do we have any closed meeting items?
Do we want to talk at all about custodial?
Oh.
Just one quick item.
Okay.
I will reload into closed meeting for personnel item.
Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you for coming. Thanks.
Yes.
Principal Davis for being in the middle of all that fray.
Yes.
You were brave, so.
Taking a beating.
I so envy you.
It was fun.
I tried not to lead it that direction, but I was being put on the spot.
You think?
It was a nice shift.
Put you on the spot, huh?
See you tomorrow, Kim.
See you tomorrow, 3:30.
3:30.
When will the soccer survey take place?
It's not a soccer survey. We're surveying all of our sports programs.
All of them.
The first 2 weeks of school.
First couple weeks of school.
We're gonna do an interest survey on all sports, even those, any sport that we could possibly offer, we're gonna do an interest survey to see where we stand based on the size of our schools. And then look at that as how it will impact not only the existing sports, but what we can do in the future. But we need that kind of data before we make decisions.
We did one, but it's been 8-10 years
Well, we do informal surveys every year, and then.
I was still teaching at Emory High.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Yes. It was a pretty extensive one, but it's been a long time.
It was.
It's time to do another one.
We do kind of keep track of that a little bit, and I know Larry does school improvement surveys, and part of that is there's opportunity for them to talk about what they'd like to see added to sports programs. And so, yeah, it's time to do it. We can do another one, but I don't know how accurate those surveys are. That's one of the reasons we asked them to put their names on it. So.